Okay, welcome everybody to the Wednesday night family call here on By Yahweh's Design on Free Conference Call. It is the 12th of July, year 2023. I am Pastor Dan. I'm hosting this call. It is an open forum, no real solid agenda, especially with all the stuff that's going on. It's amazing, but we do have to sort of pay attention to the numerous things here that are happening in our world. I'm getting a message here, so let me, okay, got to answer this real quick. And for the folks out there that are in touch with me quite often, you do know I have a new phone number. So if you're trying to reach me and the old number's not working, you need to contact me by email and I'll get you the new number. Or go to my website, PastorDan.net, and you can send me a message that way as well. So, had company come at the last minute. Some local guys came by talking about the situation going on in not only this part of the world, but all over the world, and some of the things that we need to do to make preparations for the worst case scenario, because, you know, just like it tells the Boy Scouts, they have a motto that you prepare for the worst. And that's even in the book of Proverbs and other parts of the Bible where it says a prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. So that's all we're trying to do is be good men and see the signs, the tea leaves, so to speak, the signs that are out there that we could be in for some rough roads. Everything's in the Father's control, so it's just a question of whether or not he's going to allow things to get much worse. If it takes that to get our people to wake up, then we need to expect that it will get much worse, up to and including the Noah scenario where he will bring a judgment that wipes out a lot of humanity. Because personally, there's a lot of humanity out there that needs to be wiped out. So, again, a lot of things going on. There are positive things going on. As I was talking with the gentleman a little bit ago, there are signs that there is some genuine repentance among some of our people. There are signs that folks are more willing to work with one another. A lot of people are looking into going back to the family farms, doing homesteading, coming out of the corporate world, walking away from it, refusing to put poisons in their body, refusing to accept their insane policies, the wokeness, the transgender agenda, the homosexual agenda, the pedophilia, and on and on and on it goes. All these things are obviously evil and need to be opposed by we the people, Yahweh's people upon this earth. So again, even though, as Psalm 91 says, we see it affecting thousands at one side and 10,000 at the other, it is apparent that his people are starting to come together much like Noah and his family did, with the idea that we're not going to get overcome with this, we're going to survive this. And we're going to work together to survive this, and we shall. The world can do whatever it wants. We're going to do what we know is the right thing to do, which, by the way, I went to the store the other day and picked up some non-GMO potato chips, thinking I was getting a good deal, and I noticed that one of the ingredients is natural flavorings. So I had been told by others to be careful of that, so I did a little research, and even though it's in the health food store, even though it might say it's organic and or non-GMO, does not mean that it's necessarily still good for you, believe it or not, because our corrupt government officials are allowing them to put things in the processed food that are not good for us and hide it under the name of natural flavorings. So again, we just got to get back to where we do make things ourselves, our food, purify our own water, raise our own animals, make our own clothes, because they're hiding things. And it's kind of funny because there were many of us that had debates decades ago about what the enemy might do. And these are some of the scenarios that we talked about, the fact that they would use the processed foods and the things produced in factories, because remember, you're not at the factory. You're not watching who puts the things into the vats. That's why a lot of your fast foods, be very careful, they're finding human DNA. So that means they're either getting rid of their enemies through that, which they've done in the past, or they're getting discarded human material from hospitals or whatever, and they're throwing it in there because it's just like mad cow disease. How did they find out that cows were getting mad cow's disease? Because they were putting meat products into the feed for cattle. Cattle can't digest meat. They're herbivores. They only eat grass, herbs. Okay? Their stomachs are not designed to digest meat. Okay? And so mad cow disease wasn't a problem with the cows. There was no like mysterious illness or whatever. It was the damn corporate farmers were getting cheaper feed because the probably Jewish-owned companies that produce this stuff was throwing in wasted meat products as filler instead of throwing it away or discarding it like they should have. They figured, well, why don't we put it in there? We'll make more money. Just like with fluoride. Fluoride is a byproduct of making aluminum. So they created a market for fluoride. So not only did they not have to pay to get rid of the fluoride like they should have, they turned around and actually made money selling it as a decay preventative, tooth decay preventative, when fluoride is a poison. So again, they always do it, and they continue to do it to us all the time. But again, there are good things happening. We don't have to stay negative all the time and take some breaks. Like I did that earlier today. I put some very good instrumental music on with a lot of piano and just laid back in my recliner, closed my eyes, and just said, I'm not going to allow this world to destroy the good feelings I was having, just being able to talk to the Father and think about family and friends and the good people I know and the good things that are happening, and tune this ugly world out. Don't have any radio or television on. Even take your cell phone and put it in a different room. Shouldn't have that thing all that close to you most of the time anyway. It's a spying device and it's a RF energy device. So anything that's doing that, you've got to limit your time around it if you care about your health. So, and by the way, Ella, I have sent you an email with a gentleman that I think would benefit greatly having a conversation with you. I hope it was all right. If I'd had more time, I would have got permission beforehand, but he is having some issues. He's in his early 80s. He's a good friend. And I thought, while we were talking, it would be really, really good if he had a conversation with you and you could tell him about how you have transformed your own personal health and helping others as well. And he certainly could use some encouragement and words of advice. And with your nursing background and all the other stuff that you know, I just was thinking you would be a great person for him to talk to. So, again, I ask you to indulge my giving that information out without asking first. So I'm going to go ahead and bring you guys in because I don't really have anything on the schedule here, so we can chat about that. So Ella and Matt, you're both unmuted if you have something you want to say. Somebody said something.
Oh, I just coughed. You? Hello.
How's it going? Hi, Matt. How are you doing over there, bud?
Fantastic. Doing well. And yourself?
All things considered, I can't say I'm doing too bad. It's very hot here, but other than that, health-wise, I'm doing okay, staying busy, trying to help folks. Good folks are starting to wake up, so all's well as far as I can tell.
How's my favorite Irishman today, Matt?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. I got your message, Dan. I don't know, I got a phone call about 5 minutes before the show, and I went to pick it up, and there was nobody there. Is that call number a 214 number?
214 does not sound familiar. So I don't think that was them. Besides, they were headed out to dinner when they left my place, so I would think they would not have called that soon. I'm just, that's my guess. I
trust your judgment to the 100%. So if you send somebody to me, I will gladly accept them and talk to them.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I wouldn't just send any old buddy. It's only people I think are the salt of the earth and folks in what I call my inner circle of friends and associates.
I hope you tell them what hours I'm available, because I don't sleep the normal hours that a person does.
I did not do that, but I will correct that as soon as the show is
If they
over.
Call me before noon, they'll get no answer.
Yeah,
but
I forgot.
But if they call at 3 a.m., I may pick it up.
Yeah. I will fix that problem. I forgot all about that. So, yep, I will correct that mistake and get the sort of unusual schedule that you keep to them.
I was a nurse that used to work 3 to 11. Sometimes I did not get home till 2 or 3 a.m., and I did that for decades. So when you're used to going to bed at 3, 4, 5 a.m., and then getting up at noon, you just can't change it when you stop.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. Hey, Matt, I wanted to ask you, I've been seeing a lot of things about Ireland of late, as far as possible pushback on what the New World Order is trying. Is that just fluff, or is there actually some rise in consciousness amongst your countrymen over there?
There's been hundreds of protests here this year. I think there's been probably 200 protests, I think, if I recall correctly, all around the country. I unfortunately live in one of the liberal hotbed cities, so none here, I wish, but most of them are up north and around the countryside as well, where they're dropping in foreigners like crazy here, you know.
Yeah, they're doing that in all of our white nations right now, as far as I know. But it's also waking a lot of people up. I think we're getting very close to some possible actual pushback in the physical sense, not just the spiritual sense. So exciting times, folks, exciting times. A lot of people are starting to wake up to the medical mafia lying to us. They're looking, just like the folks that stopped by here tonight, they're looking for natural remedies more than they ever did before. They realize we're being poisoned in our minds and in our air and water and food. So, again, it's a shame that it takes this much negativity and punishment from our Father to get our people to place that they need Him and they need each other, and they need to get back to a simpler lifestyle. But the good news is all things do work to the good for those who love the Father and are called according to His purpose. So, again, these negative things are affecting the zombies to the point where some of them are dying, or they're going to the hospitals, or they're having violent outlashes with their neighbors and friends, whatever. Whereas Yahweh's people are taking the punishment as a call to repent and get closer with the Father. So just as that verse says, all things do work to the good if you're part of His children and are called according to His purpose. So I'll yield. Do you guys have anything else you'd like to chat about?
I've been studying some things. I know the book of Daniel, particularly Daniel 12, tells us in the end times the things that are sealed are going to be unsealed. And
right.
I'm finding lately that studying about things that I could never understand before are starting to reveal themselves immensely, at least in my life. I have 24/7 to study that. I don't have children at home. I don't have a husband at home. I don't have anybody except me and Yahweh, and he leads me in a lot of different ways. Like, for instance, all the people that like to claim that Satan was a beautiful angel that fell from heaven and all that kind of crap, it's coming to light that that is not true. Like, for instance, the Bible talks about cherubim and seraphim. When it talks about, I think it's in Romans 8:19, it talks about the manifestation of the sons of God. When the sons of God manifest, the seraphim will be revealed. They are the people full of fire that will bring judgment on the earth. I'm just starting to learn a little bit about that now. And for one thing, people say that Satan was the cherub that covers, which is in Ezekiel 28 verse. When it says a cherub that covers, that's exactly what it means. The cherubim in heaven, which are in Ezekiel, Ezekiel, the visions in chapter 1, but also the visions in chapter 10. The cherubim are those that cover, and they don't cover any throne. What they do is cover the truth. Just like when Adam and Eve left the garden and he put the cherubim to guard it in a flaming sword, that's so nobody could find the tree of life. It's hidden. And all those that say that they have found Eden on earth in the Philippines or the North Pole or something like that, that is not true, because it cannot be found till Yahweh reveals it. And the cherubim are the ones who are covering it. The cherubim has nothing to do with Satan. Satan is Yahweh's adversary. If anybody reads the book of Job, that adversary, who they call falsely Satan, can't do a doggone thing without Yahweh's permission. He rules nothing or nobody. He's not an adversary of Yahweh. He's our adversary, both to judge us, to test us, and to see that we stay in line. He's like the chief advocate, the prosecuting attorney in the court of Yahweh. And all that stuff is coming to the truth. People are going to these places called churches every day because they're scared stiff of going to hell. And there's no such place as hell. In the Old Testament, when the people used to sacrifice their children into idols and put them in the fires of Moloch, Yahweh even said, it's horrible that they do things like this. A thing like that never came into my mind. So why would anybody think that the wonderful, loving, merciful, and patient Yahweh God that we have, our Father in heaven, would ever send anyone to torment in hell and burn forever? It's totally ridiculous. But a lot of these things are coming to light now. And like I said about the cherubim and the seraphim, I sent you a thing on that today, Dan, that you can probably read it. It's things that I've read and studied a long time ago. And it's written by people that do believe in universal salvation, which I do not. I'm a firm believer that this age is for the Israelites. There's going to be an age sometime for everybody on earth, but everybody's going to get their own turn. But that doesn't mean that anybody is doomed forever or any of that sort of thing. But Yahweh works with certain people at certain times. And this age right now, it's for the white Anglo-Saxon Israelites, not the Jews. The Jews are the total enemy of Yahweh now, and our total enemy. They have totally destroyed the world. And have no fear that Yahweh is going to destroy them, because he tells us in Revelation that I will destroy those who destroy the earth. So these things we should not even be worried about, because Yahweh is in total charge of everything. And all we have to do is have faith, stand up with each other, lift each other up, and just give each other love, friendship, companionship, and be there when somebody else needs them. That's all we need to do right now. And anything else that Yahweh tells us to do. Okay,
I'll use family. Be a family.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. We're called to be family. We're told over and over again to treat each other as brothers and sisters and family members, whether we live in the same country or speak the same language or not.
Well, how many of us now are pretending to be good friends with somebody, and then they find out that they don't believe a certain doctrine that they do, and they say, well, if they believe that, I'm not going to talk to them again.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the heart in that? Is that Yahweh's heart? I don't think so.
Right. You know, the scripture says to turn your cheek and also to forgive 70 times 7 a brother or sister if it's a slight offense. And we've turned doctrine into trigger mechanisms to call them great offenses when they're really not. A lot of the doctrinal differences are just simply that, doctrinal differences. They're not major points of whether you salvation or a tenet of our faith or whatever. The main thing is to recognize, first of all, that Yahweh is our Creator God, our Father in heaven, and number two, that we are His children. We're to behave as His children, which means to love Him and obey Him and look out for each other. That's probably the two strongest things that we're supposed to remember, and everything else is sort of icing on the cake. But, you know, people, they just tend to love to argue. They love to stick knives in each other's backs. They love to gossip. It's been very disappointing, even in identity circles, at the behavior of some of our people. It really is. It's been shocking at times.
I can't understand why anybody doesn't use the brain that Yahweh gave them. Common sense is disappearing in this world. We were told a while back by that CIA director, I forget what his name is, that he said when our disinformation plan is complete, everything the public believes will be a lie. So everything we learned in public school is a lie about what this earth is. There's no such thing as planets out there because there's a firmament above our heads and we can't see through that firmament. We can't go through that firmament to see anything outside of it. And yet people still believe that they say that somehow when this earth was made that Yahweh took it like a bowling ball and threw it around the sun to rotate. I haven't seen any scripture that says anything like that. And when you take water, the oceans, they have boundaries. Well, the wall of Antarctica going around the circle of the earth, which Isaiah tells us, it's in Isaiah 44:20 or something like that, it's flat. Water never arcs up into a circle. If ships are on the sea, they never go uphill or downhill because the water would flow that way. So why can't people use common sense to know that we have been lied to? But they'll argue blue in the face. And you can't argue back. But if you use common sense, if you hold water up in a fish tank and hold it straight, it's level. When you measure wood, when you're building a building and there's an instrument called a level with water in that little bubble in the middle, you flatten it out until that bubble's right in the middle. It shows that everything is level. The horizon is level. It doesn't arch up and go into a circle. Why can't people see things like that? I don't understand it.
Well, they don't love the truth. That's the biggest problem. That's why it says that he sends a strong delusion. They're under a strong delusion because they don't want the truth, okay? It's just like in natural health. I was just talking with the gentleman out here a few minutes ago about the fact that the best shape of my life was in my 40s when I ate one meal a day and I would have maybe some juice or something like that later in the day, but one main meal a day. I was running a mile and a half three times a week. I was working out in my motel room for an hour three times a week. And just that little bit, and I was transforming my body tremendously in a positive way. Six-pack abs, my big thick thighs from football were shrinking down to their normal size. My body weight was going to a normal place. All my aches and pains were gone. I had energy that was unbelievable. And yet every single friend and relative and medical person I told what I was doing said, oh, that's dangerous. You have to eat three meals a day. So, I mean, that's just the level of brainwashing and ridiculousness that we have today. So I'm standing in front of them, a totally transformed man in his 40s who can run a mile and a half and sprint for the last 100 yards at a full sprint. And within 8 seconds, my breathing returned to normal. And the only reason I know that is my buddy was a runner, and he told me, he said, you'll know you're in good shape when your lungs will recover from that mile and a half run and that sprint within 8 seconds. And he was right. Everything he told me about running, how it would affect me, what it would take to do it, he did not lie about a single thing. Everything he told me about it was true. And the transformation was utterly unbelievable. And yet it went against everything they ever said. People said, you know, especially when you get in your 40s, don't run. It's harder on your ankles. It's harder on your knees. Don't eat just one meal a day. All this stuff they told me, and yet it worked. And I remember what my father told me when I was a boy. You can't argue with success. That ought to be in the Bible. You can't argue with success. And yet, people wanted to argue with me. And it was like, are you people blind or what? You know, I'm standing in front of you testifying about this miraculous change, and you're going to sit there and tell me I'm wrong? I mean, that's the level of dystopia and what do you want to call it? Mass psychosis that we have today due to all this Jewish programming through the media, the institutions, the government, the mainstream media, all of it, education systems, all of it is just propaganda on propaganda. And almost all of it is a lie. It's just amazing, absolutely amazing. I yield.
Well, you know, Dan, every one of us are different. I know when I talked to you 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago, the first time, it was a mess, really. And I had a hard time walking because my knees hurt so badly, not only from the profession I was in, but because I was overweight. And, you know, I followed a lot of your advice and everything, and I went along with the ways that you said, and things started to work. However, I learned as I went along, my body is not like your body. I don't eat just one meal a day. What I do is I eat a lot of little meals a day. If I get up, I have a glass of tomato juice or something, and that satisfies me. An hour later, I may have a boiled egg. I'm not hungry at all. Then if I do get hungry, I snack on whatever my body feels like eating. If it's a piece of meat or a piece of cheese or an egg or just a can of little jar of yogurt or whatever. And in the past, I don't get on the scale. I don't take my blood pressure. I don't know. But as it is now, I am 80 and a half years old. I am on no medications at all. I went 4 sizes down in clothing. I'm relatively thin now. My knees don't hurt at all. I feel great. I'm not on any medicine at all. I am alone. I mow my own yard. I take care of my own house. I do my own cleaning, cooking, washing. I'm of sound mind. I think great. No sign of Alzheimer's or anything. I don't have a care in the world, really, when I think about it, even in spite of all the horror going on in the world. I have a roof over my head. I have good health. I have, through you and the community that we have here, I have few friends that I love dearly. There is nothing wrong with life because I trust Yahweh to take me through it like he will everybody else. But just listen to your body. don't listen to other people say, do this, do that, do the other thing, because you are you. You're not somebody else, and everything will not work for everybody. So find out what works for you. And, you know, once you get that system going in your life, there's no problem at all because you're not even thinking about it. You're just living and enjoying life. You're not thinking, I have to eat this. This is time to eat. Well, I had 4 calories this morning. Now I can only have 22 calories now. Or I got to cut out carbs or cut out fats or anything. Baloney. If you're hungry and your body wants it, eat it. If it makes you sick, don't eat it again. It's kind of simple when you think about it. Okay, go ahead. I yield.
Yeah, amen about that. Amen. And you're right. When I give my testimony about what works for me, I'm not saying that my program is meant for everybody. What I'm trying to say is whatever works for you, don't let the, quote, establishment tell you what to do because they're going to lie to you. Okay? That's all I'm trying to say. Whatever works, just like my dad said, if it works for you, then that's what you should do. If it gets the results you need, then that's what you should do. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to medical people. Think for yourself. Do your own research. And, you know, that's what you should do. So
let's hear from Matt a little bit. What do you do to stay fit, Matt?
Well, I work 4 days a week. I'm lucky the way my job is. It's a bit chaotic. I do 7 to 7, and I do 2 mornings, 2 nights. So I get a 24-hour break in between my second shift. If you know what I mean.
What do you do?
I work in a factory, which I'm actually quite lucky to still be working in at the moment because we're so quiet. So praise Yahweh, they're moving me to another part of the factory, so I'm not getting the boot.
Oh, good.
Which is good. But, yeah, we cut diamonds.
You what?
So, we cut diamonds.
Oh, I thought you said you cooked diamonds.
No, we cut them.
Can you take any of that stuff home? I'll give you my mailing address.
Well, I can't. I would otherwise, but I can't, unfortunately. But, I work out in between that, so I'm obviously off for four. Well, I'm off for three, but if you get up early enough on the morning that you finish, you get 4 days out of it. So I kind of work out when I'm not having a few beers. I can work out 5 days a week. And just kind of eat healthy and, you know, keep it simple as best I can.
You have a girlfriend?
No, thank God, for the time being anyway.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I'd love a couple of kids, but, I need someone that is, I suppose, not insane. Not that I'm the most stable individual either. I think we're all a bit nuts, you know.
it's difficult finding somebody compatible with you when you don't want to pretend to be somebody you're not.
Well, that's it, and I'm quite the radical, believe it or not. So a lot of people think I'm a bit mad, but it is what it is.
I like that kind of a man who has a mind of his own.
Yeah, you roll with the punches.
Yeah, it's like having a good game of tennis or something. You fight back with each other, and then you make up, and you fight back again, and it's not boring.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. It's not. I'm not too worried about it at the time being. But I'd like to have a couple of kids someday, hopefully.
Well, you're still pretty young, aren't you, Matt?
Oh yeah, I turned 25 in May, like, so I'm still young. But I mean, the way things are nowadays, women aren't those eggs aren't lasting really long either. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that's true. They have been messing with our ability to produce children, healthy children. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was reading that, like, by the time women become, I think around 30 now is the time where they start to like really start losing their eggs, which is mad.
Wow. Yep, that's pretty quick.
And even if you told them, they wouldn't believe you. So.
I wanted all my children by the time I was 30, so I had my last one at 28. I had three. They're all grown up and gone now.
Well, I'm sure you still would have had another couple of years, given like the preservatives and stuff like that, and the GMOs in the food definitely weren't as severe as they are today.
Well, if I'd married a different man the first time, I probably would have had 10, but just didn't work out that way.
Hmm.
A lot of men out there are dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure are.
Your turn, Dan.
Yep.
Dan.
Yes, sir.
I was curious as to your opinion on the origins of the other races. Obviously not the Canaanites, like we know that. But I was curious, do you adopt the same ideology as, let's say, Wesley Swift would in the regards to like the blacks and that? I was curious.
I've read some of Swift's material, but I don't remember reading anything about the origin of the other races that he wrote. So you have to fill me in. What did he say?
Well, I haven't delved into it a lot myself, but just from like the sermons that I've heard from him, where he was saying that the blacks are from like different planets and that they were brought here. I don't know if you recall hearing those over the years. As I said, I haven't delved into that at all, but I think Pastor Bob Jones is the same. He believes that too, but it's all, to me, it doesn't really make a difference. But I was just curious what your two cents were on it.
Yeah, I remember reading some of the early years of Identity when I used to go to the different gatherings. There would be some of the speakers talking about it, and Swift, I guess, was one of them. But there were some other pretty well-known speakers that were pushing that. I've told people that it's, first of all, there are no planets. So that sort of takes away from anybody saying it came from another planet or another universe. The point of it is that our Father, it says in Scripture, but it also makes sense. Our Father created this world. Everything in this world he put here. Nothing comes through the firmament into this world without his approval. So, and these other trees in the book of Genesis, when it talks about the trees that are in the garden and the trees that are on the earth, that's indicative of other peoples, and they weren't our people. So how he managed to put them here, who he put here first and for how long and all, I don't have a clear reading on that, except for like Chinese records go back for tens and tens of thousands of years. There's archaeological digs that have Negroid skeletons and all that go back tens and tens and tens of thousands of years. But there's no Caucasoid fossil record more than about 7,000 or 8,000 years. So all that fits with Scripture and common sense. We're latecomers. We were put here to bring order on this earth, because you can imagine if we weren't here with our Father's law and implementing his law, it would be chaos on the earth, which is exactly what Genesis describes. The earth became void. It became chaotic. Okay, maybe it wasn't at first. Maybe there was some other form of law being established, but it became chaotic, and Adam was put here to restore order and to maintain the garden. And that fits. That fits with the historical record, the archaeological record, even common sense. So all these other races have histories that go back for quite a ways, much further back than ours. And so as far as other planets, though, no. I'm with Ella and many of the other people that I'm in communication with. We're we're in agreement that this whole nonsensical thing that NASA came up with is just a joke. So anybody telling me about other constellations and universes and planets and aliens coming down in spaceships and planting this and that, I don't buy any of that. Yeah. I don't believe it. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. And it's backed up as well, of course, by that verse in Ezekiel that speaks of the Assyrian cedars, I believe, were great in during the time of Eden. So it's backed up by scripture as well. We didn't all come from Adam, you know.
Oh, no. And that's the biggest lie out there, is that all races came from Adam. I mean, that's ludicrous as hell. One of the best books on that, in fact, I'm looking at it right now. Yep, by Lawrence Blanchard. Now, Lawrence Blanchard is an identity teacher now, but he started out as a Baptist minister and missionary, by the way, both he and his wife. I've interviewed him on my show here probably at least six times, typically after he's written one of his books. But one of the books that got my attention to him was Did All Races Come from Adam? And probably one of the best books I've read that just totally smashes the whole idea apart. And again, he was raised from seminary as a Baptist minister, spent many, I think, decades as a Baptist teacher and preacher, and now he is running an identity ministry in Texas, he and his wife. In fact, his website is called Your Biblical Heritage. I believe it's .org. It might be .com, but Your Biblical Heritage, and it's Pastor Lawrence Blanchard. And you can get, he's got several books, but the one book is Did All Races Come from Adam, where he just destroys that whole notion. Back to you.
Yeah, an easily destroyed notion at that. Even if you didn't take from the Bible, as you said, archaeological evidence backs it up also. So the whole thing is quite daft.
It is daft. And the fact that this nonsense of, well, there's only one race, the human race. Well, that's total bullshit. My buddy was. Same age as me, his dad was in the, I believe it was the FBI. I know he was in Dallas around the time of John F. Kennedy's assassination, and he worked for either the FBI or the CIA. I can't remember. So Larry knew a lot from things he had seen and heard during his teen years with his father, but... he and I went back and forth as far as the identity message, and he finally got through to me and got me to see, open my eyes to the ludicrousness of a lot of this racial stuff. But he was telling me one time that when he was a boy, his dad would take him in Washington, D.C. to the various museums and Smithsonian Institutes. And they, at that time in the 1950s and early 60s, they used to have skeletons hanging in the museum of the major racial groups so you could compare them. And he said it was remarkable, the differences in the skeletal makeup of the major races. So the idea that they all came from the same thing is, again, ludicrous. We're not the same emotionally, we're not the same IQ, we're not the same bone structure, we're just not. And again, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily evil, some of them are, obviously, but it just means that we're different. Just like there's birds, they all have wings, they all have tail feathers, they all have talons, but that doesn't mean they're all the same. Some fly better, some don't fly, some can go fishing, others can't, some eat seeds, some eat bugs, but they're all birds. And same thing with mankind. You know, we may look like we're similar, but we have very great differences. And we're not to mix kinds. the New World Order wants us to mix because it creates chaos, it creates hardship, and they know that. They know that. So, you know, our job is to obey our Father and stay kind after kind, and then we don't have these problems. But that's part of the why the world is so messed up right now. First of all, meritocracy, we threw it out. Now we hire people based on their gender and their skin color, and most of them are quite unqualified. And I was talking to somebody today. I went down to a Home Depot recently and just looked for a standard wooden toilet seat. Okay, that's not a big thing. Okay, there are usually tons of them at Home Depot. And these were like $8, $9, very cheap. Just a circular, good old-fashioned wooden toilet seat. And the shelf was empty. There were none. And normally there's like three full shelves of these things in the store. None of them. So things are breaking down. The supply chain's breaking down. There's all kinds of reports about it. But it's breaking down because people are incompetent. We got mail carriers that are incompetent. We got truck drivers that are incompetent. We got factory workers that are incompetent. We got office managers that are incompetent. And you can't run a country with as many facets to it as this one is with incompetent people. You can't do that. You can't tolerate that. And now the inmates are running the asylum in the United States and in virtually every white nation. The inmates, the insane, psychopathic, psychotic, inbred miscreants and cretins are running the asylum, and things are starting to fall apart. That's one reason why we're in discussions all the time, locally and long distance, with making preparations for this thing coming apart. Now, if Yahweh steps in and stops it and allows us to straighten it up before all this happens, that's great. But again, like good Boy Scouts, you can't take for granted when the Father's going to make his move. So we're left on our own devices to prepare for what we see, okay? Just like Proverbs says, a wise man, or a prudent man, same thing, a wise man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. So that's all we're saying to do. It's unbelievable. That I'll yield. Anybody else agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Oh, okay. Just making sure I didn't fall off or everybody go to sleep or something.
Did you ever watch the Truman Show? I watched it the other day.
It reminds me
of what we're living in, that we have, it's almost like the Wizard of Oz with the guy behind the curtain telling everybody what they're going to do and planning everything for them, and us walking around like a bunch of idiots saying yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, and not realizing that we're being programmed.
The vast majority anyway, that's for sure. Yeah. And the cognitive dissonance is unreal when it's pointed out to them.
In the end, he finds when he went out into the boat, he got to the end where all of a sudden his hand hit a wall. Then he found a stairway in the wall, and he walked up and he found an exit door. He opened it and he said goodbye and walked through. I wish we could do that.
Oh, man. Be patient, Lassie. Be patient.
As Dan said before, and has always stuck with me, if we could figure out how to get back, we'd do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. That's one reason he had to erase our memories, or else we wouldn't have tolerated staying here. We'd probably all go out tonight and cut our own throats. But
I think we'd be cutting a lot of everyone else's throats, Dan.
I'm with you, Matt. We'll get them first.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. You're right. Now that I think about it, you're right. That's probably right. There are a lot of people that deserve that, that have committed crimes, and it's our job to implement his law. We haven't been doing that, and we need to. It would solve so many problems if we would, if the white men would simply stand up and say, ladies, you're going to have to take a back seat here and stay out of the way. I know you're emotional and you got big hearts, but you need to stay the hell out of our way. It's the men's job to pick up their swords and go about Yahweh's business, which means bringing justice on this earth, because we don't have it now. Because justice can only be had when God's law is fully implemented. That's the only time you have justice.
I would be willing to stand back and say, go for it.
Yeah. Well, we need a whole bunch more like you, so you need to be on the airwaves, and you need to be reaching all the ladies and waking their butts up.
I want to go back to the days when women were free. We could stay at home and take care of our kids and polish our nails and wash our hair and do our own wash and relax. I mean, raising kids is a lot of work, yes, but it has a lot more satisfaction than it has going to work in a factory.
You know, what's funny is women think that that's liberation, but all they've done is traded the boss at home being their husband for some stranger being their boss at the factory.
Exactly.
Took the words out of my mouth.
And the only reason why they put women to work was, well, there are two reasons. They wanted to get rid of the family because the family unit was the basis of a free society. And they also wanted to be able to tax women as well as men. Because if women stayed at home and took care of their kids and house where they belong, they couldn't tax them.
Right.
What they had is all these corrupt old Jew men who pretended to be women and came along with women's lib. So all these Gloria Steinems and Bella Abzugs and all those that came out, you know, the leaders of Cosmopolitan magazine and all that, they were all men dressed like women telling women that they were slaves to stay home and take care of the family.
That would explain the ugliness then, because those freaking women you just named are uglier than sin.
Well, they are Jews.
Whew. Absolutely.
So, well, ugly on the outside, ugly on the inside.
That's the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. It's the communistic rules for society, which they've been putting in place for the last 50 years, 70 years that I know of. And everybody's falling for it. But everybody wants to be told what to do, what to wear, what to see, where to go. And so what do they do? They turn on their television, and that tells them exactly what they want to know. They don't want to have a mind of their own anymore.
They can't critically think anyway, most people.
What was that, Matt?
I said they can't critically think anyway, most people. I mean, you look at the education system today, it's they don't teach you how to think anymore. I mean, what we call secondary school to be high school there. I never went to college, but I just signed up to do an engineering course actually today, funnily enough. But
nobody ever needs to go to college. Never.
Well, it's just for the piece of paper, you know. It's they make everything hard for you otherwise. I don't care about it other than that. But it's just for prudence more than anything. But they don't teach you obviously how to think. And I'm out of school 7 years, so I remember it. And they don't teach you how to think.
No, they don't. They indoctrinate. They actually don't teach anymore. It's more indoctrination. You know, what's really funny is free mandatory public education is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. Isn't that odd? Okay, so here we are pushing mandatory education in a public school system, And it's right off the planks of the Communist Manifesto, as well as a heavy progressive income tax on the people. So two planks of the 10 of the Communist Manifesto, so that's one-fifth of their planks, we endorse and push on all of our people. And people are so stupid, they can't see it. It's like, okay, if it's in the Communist Manifesto, duh, that's bad, okay? It's not good for a people. Our people hang on to those. I can't tell you how many white people that piss me off who defend the public school system and the income tax system. What are you, morons?
Well, how many morons out there say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness when that's not what it says? We are supposed to have life, liberty, and property.
Yeah,
free man has life, liberty, and property. Anytime you have property, if they tax it, you can never own it.
Right.
You're lucky to have either, huh?
Right.
Exactly.
So, yep. For one thing, Yahweh owns every inch of the land on this earth. What right does the government have to make us pay taxes on the land we are living? They don't own it.
I think one of the more ridiculous ones is the permits for, like, fishing and stuff.
Exactly.
Right.
Completely ridiculous.
Driving license, we shouldn't have them either. You learn how to drive a car, you can drive a car and get, because that's your means of getting from one place to another. You're not free unless you can freely drive a car or ride a bicycle or a scooter or a golf cart or anything that'll transport you from one place to another. You shouldn't need licenses or anything or permission to do things like that.
Right.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because they just chopped the word in half and called it a permit, you know? And it doesn't, it has a nicer ring to it. It's like abortion, you know? It's that asking for permission. People don't see it like that because the word is twisted.
Who should ever ask permission to kill their baby?
No, but I mean for driving and stuff like that.
Yeah. But, you know, when you think of abortion... It's unspeakable.
It's disgusting.
Everybody knows how you get pregnant.
Well, most
everybody. My mother used to tell me when I went on a date, take an aspirin when you go on a date, but keep it between your knees.
I haven't heard that one in a long time. Yeah, that's your contraceptive pill. Put it between your knees and keep your legs closed. Oh, Lordy. Very
good.
People
just don't want to accept the consequences of their actions now. They want to be able to do anything they want, but they don't want the responsibility of something bad happening to them. And if they do, then they want the public to pay for it. Like these millions of people on welfare, that women get more money for every child they have, so they get, pardon the expression, knocked up with 20 kids and we're paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then these kids that have no control end up in the prison system of the world, and we pay for that too.
Hmm. Yep, exactly. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead, somebody else talk. I've talked enough.
Oh, all right. Well, I was unmuting Charles there, and it was blocking you, so I thought you had something to say, so I'll bring Charles back in here. Go ahead, Charles.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Ella. Hi, Matt. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Charles.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Sorry I'm a bit late here. Time got away from me. I forgot about it. Great discussion, though. Yeah, that abortion issue is an important one.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were just saying that, you know, that you're not going to bring justice on this earth until we get back to implementing God's law, because that's the only true source of justice there is.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, in our last Monday conference, near the end, if you might get a chance to look at it on the recordings, we had kind of a consensus develop. Scotty and out of New York, and Grant in Canada, and myself, and one other person I forget, I think, but we were talking about, Cindy. We were talking about New Jerusalem, and we need New Jerusalem to come down. We need to assemble 12 delegates to be the earthly connection of heavenly Jerusalem with, you know, in Revelation it talks about there's 12 gates that are controlled by the 12 apostles that each are built upon the foundations of the 12 tribes of Israel, how all that fits together. So there was some real nice discussion there about bringing New Jerusalem to this earth, probably through United States people, returning to our godly, righteous, biblical principles. Yeah.
Well, that's wow. going to happen. That's going to happen anyway when Yahweh comes.
Well,
when Yahweh is fed up with everything, he's going to bring what I was talking about at the beginning, the seraphim, which is a manifestation of the sons of God, and they're going to clean up every mess on this earth, and we won't have to worry about the law then.
Well, I think
it's going to be Yahweh's law. Men aren't going to have anything to do with it.
I think Yahweh works through men. I think that's why it's referred to, they translate, Lord.
That's why we've gotten to where we are now, because Yahweh has worked through men, but men have failed, and men will always fail.
Yeah, men rejected Yahweh, you know.
That was the wrong
man. People on this earth that don't like him, don't want to go with his ways, and as long as that happens, there's going to be problems. But there's going to come a day when Yahweh's going to say, that's it, I've had enough, you've had enough, let's go and get rid of all this crap. And it's going to happen.
Well, I think Yahweh works through righteous men. I don't think we should just sit and wait for Jesus to come on a cloud and save us. I think he wants us doing stuff.
Oh, that's not what I said. What we all should do now is never mind about the law. Try to lift each other up. Try to get along with each other. Try to shine our light on other people. We can't get rid of the laws that are there now because everybody in government is a crooked bastard, pardon the French.
That's the historical nature of the conflict between Israel and Rome. The Roman Empire destroyed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, nailed him to the cross because he was standing up for bringing righteous, godly government to this earth.
That's not what Yahweh came for. That's not what Yeshua came for.
No, we're going to have to agree to disagree there, I think, sister.
He did not come to bring a religion or anything.
You're entitled to your opinion. I got a different opinion.
He came to tell men that it's the kingdom of God is coming. It's there with him there. And they have to repent and they have to start doing something. But he had never gave any orders for them to change Rome. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But he never gave us instructions to fight against Rome. He told us to fight for him.
What about all the Protestant wars against the
those are all men and those are all religions. Yeshua did not come here to start a new religion. He came to get rid of the ones that were there.
I love you like a sister, Ella, but we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Okay, I read the Bible, though. I know what it says.
Okay, hold on a minute. Let's keep decorum in the forum here.
Thank you, Brother Dan.
All right. First of all, we don't walk on top of each other. Let somebody finish their thought and then speak your piece. And we're not going to agree on everything anyway. So, okay. And Joshua, what's going to happen is going to happen. And I don't think I know of anybody that's got it laid out perfectly yet. It's probably going to happen in such a way that it'll surprise all of us. because each of us has our own vision of what we think he's going to do, and it's probably going to shock all of us. What we've been through in the last 3.5 years, I would never have guessed in all my years working, all my years on the radio, I would never have guessed that we would have lived through what we just did for the last 3.5 years. Never in a million years. Okay? And the way he's going to bring this all about is probably going to shock all of us. It's going to be a little bit of everything. There's going to be some divine intervention, and I've seen that in my lifetime. I've seen people who have come back to the Father through divine intervention, but he also is going to do some of it on his own. He's also going to do some of it through men. He does work through men as well. He works through me. We're here tonight because of my efforts to put this together. So I am a man, and I'm working under the Spirit of the Father. So the two can work together. The problem we have is most men are not spiritual today. Most men are not under the Holy Spirit. They're not guided by a Holy Spirit. They're guided by lust, the arm of flesh, greed, materialism, everything except our Father's Spirit. So it's kind of like you're both on the right points, and you both are having some issues with semantics here a little bit. From my point of view, again, my point of view. But you know, we are family, and we are going to have robust discussions at times, and we need to recognize that. We got Kumri jumped in here. Okay, hey Kumri, long time no see, buddy. Oops, I thought you were unmuted, and it looks like... Oh, there it is. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you. I always remute myself after you unmute me.
Oh.
So that way I can control the muting.
Oh, okay. You have to speak up a little bit. You're a little bit quiet there, a little soft. Oh, okay.
All
right. Oh, that's better. Yep, better.
I'll just have to hold the phone pretty close then.
Yeah, that's much better. Can hear you like you're sitting right next to us.
Hey,
all right.
Dan, is there any more word on the ARC there? I heard that that show I was listening to it in work there a couple of weeks ago, the one you did with, I can't recall his name now at the moment. Keith?
Oh, Keith?
Yeah, you were doing a show with Keith, right, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
About the ARC, I was wondering how that was going for you.
About the what?
The ARC, the bit of land there that you...
The ARC. That project is almost going on continuously. We've got people looking and searching, we're making phone calls. Nothing seems to have come together just yet, but we are getting closer. Keith also, now that you mention it, contacted me about wanting to know if I would do a special show with him at least once a week on pick a book and get into a detailed discussion on the contents of various books. And now that you mentioned it, I got tied up and forgot to call him back on that, so he's probably thinking I'm a bit of a butthole. But, yep. The ARC project has not died. I am getting more information that lots of people, believe it or not, lots of people are leaving the cities and they're looking to homestead in the countryside. So it's become a movement. The mainstream media obviously will not talk about it, but there is a move to get out of cities and get to the countryside. And many people are starting to realize that they have contaminated the food supply, and that they are going to weaponize food as a means of people control, which means they're going to withhold the food if you don't behave yourself. So we have a double-edged sword here as to why we need to feed ourselves. So we need to be independent. And number two, the junk on the shelf at the store that they call food is garbage. And it's more true today than it's ever been. The vast majority of the stuff at the store is garbage. So we need to get back to simpler diets. As Ella pointed out, some of us are able to get by with basically one meal a day with maybe a small snack or two in between. Ella, that's another form of intermittent fasting where you eat more than once, but you eat small amounts, two or three, four times a day, whatever. Whatever works, whatever's comfortable, whatever works, because we are all different. The main thing is we don't need to consume 6,000 calories of garbage from the store, which is what the average person seems to do lately. And that's why we have so many obese people. And people aren't just overweight anymore. A lot of them are actually obese. I can't remember. Maybe Ella remembers what the poundage limit is when you go from being just overweight to obese. And obesity is contributing tremendously to people's health problems. So
I often see some of the videos of the obese people over in America, and they look like they're wearing fat suits. It's so bad.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, you ought to see it down here. They like to wear spandex. I'm telling you.
Yeah, sight for sore eyes, huh?
You almost want to curse the guy that came up with spandex when you see the stuff that's wearing it out here. It's like, please, cover that up. Spandex wasn't made for that. I'm sorry. It really wasn't. But, go ahead.
Are they pushing for the, I know they're doing it here, you can actually see it starting to happen in this country, is the 15-minute cities. They're tightening all the roads and making lots of bicycle lanes and stuff like that. They've destroyed town. They've made it pretty much unbearable to drive through. I wonder, are they pushing for that kind of a thing over in the States also?
I personally haven't seen much of it. I do see that they are upgrading the public transportation system a lot. I do see an increase in numbers of bicycle lanes on some of the roads. I have seen that. They don't push, quote, the 15-minute city directly, but you can see where they're taking steps to be in a position where if they wanted to, they could implement it. So if they're doing it, it's because somebody's got a plan for it.
I think they're planning on something for 2025. I've heard a lot about them wanting to start another, they're planning another scamdemic, which would do the same thing the last 3.5 years have done, only it'll be worse. Because once they quarantine everybody and make them stay at home, they can do whatever the heck they please.
Do you think people would bite the second time around, though?
I hope not.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I would never have thought that people would have acquiesced as much as they did on the first pass, but they did. Who knows what will happen on the second pass? I'm too afraid to make a guess, to be honest. You would think people would be smart enough and brave enough to know that this is ridiculous and never go for it, but they went for it the first time, and I would not have guessed that. Not to that degree. That was amazing, especially people like in the military and police. Okay, you like your job, but to allow them to force you to put poisons in your body. When I was in the military, I didn't know the stuff I know today, or they would not have gotten away with what they did back then. But once I got out of the military, it stopped. So, again, people should be educated enough today to know that you've got to resist and stop doing this nonsense. You can't go along. You can't compromise with evil. I mean, the scripture's plain with that. Every teaching of Yahshua, every teaching of Yahweh in the Old Testament tells you you don't compromise with evil. It doesn't work out well, okay, ever. You stand for righteousness, and you stand even unto death. That's the commandment. It doesn't say, well, you can stand against it, but as soon as it becomes inconvenient, they take some convenience away, then you can acquiesce and go ahead and and let the New World Order have their way. Because after all, I mean, you shouldn't be inconvenienced. That's how weak people are today. You know, he told us to stand even unto death, and today people can't even handle being slightly inconvenienced. Or, oh, you couldn't go on your cruise, or you couldn't get on an airplane, or things like that, and you went and put a poison in your body? You got to be kidding me. Since when did a cruise or riding on a bus or riding on a train or riding on a plane, when did those become so necessary for life that you would be willing to jeopardize the health of your body? What's wrong with people? It's a mental illness. It's a mass psychosis. It's unbelievable. We're living in biblical times. He said strong delusion because these people don't care about the truth. I know. I've got people that, you know, friends, relatives, whatever, and they fit that description. It hurts to say it, but it's true. They just don't care about the truth. They want to get along. They don't want to be called names. They wanted to fit in with society. They want to make money. You name it. Anything but going along with the truth. Anything but promoting the truth.
So, Dan, I think the most important thing, like you said, that people should do is start building their own food supply. Because if you have something to eat and a place to live, you can survive.
Amen.
But if you depend upon them for providing food for you, you're going to die. So each one of us, if we have a little piece of land, start digging, start planting seeds. If you have a neighborhood, have one of them plant tomatoes, have another plant cucumbers, have another one plant carrots, someone plant potatoes, and you have a neighborhood that can always eat.
Yep. There's a community here in Central Florida that's been doing that for about 6 or 7 years that I know of. Little farmettes, 10, 12, 15 acres, little farmettes. They're all growing different things, and they barter between themselves. So there's no exchange of money. So
no, there.
Hmm?
There was a woman there recently over the last few months over in England, and she was growing her own crop, and she was just giving it out for free to people in need, and someone jumped over her wall and put salt in the soil. Do you believe that?
That's unbelievable. That person
probably
should be shot.
Hooked nose, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that person should be shot. Shot or hung by the neck. Somebody that would do that is an animal. Absolute animal. And we got a lot of animals that need to be taken care of. We really do. I keep praying for that day to be very, very soon.
Every day.
Yep. I'm tired of it. You know, when Yahweh gives a green light, I'm going to grab my sword and my shield and my helmet, and I'm going to take to the field. Because I've been gnawing at the bit for a long time. I'm not a young man anymore, but I think I could still take a few down with me. So, keep praying for it.
Well, it's coming. That's for sure. It's coming one way or another.
One way or another. Yep, that's for sure. Okay, we're getting close to the end time here. Does anybody have any final comments, any kind of questions or reports or anything?
We just have to all stick together in spite of differences or differences of opinion or anything. Families all argue. Families have differences of opinion. And that's what we all are, family. We just
exactly.
have to find that and just, you know, brush things off. If you don't agree with somebody, just, you know, okay, we'll agree to disagree for now. But the important thing is we have to know that other people are in our corner. Then we won't feel so alone, because that's a devastating feeling when you're all alone and there's nobody to talk to, nobody to stand with you. That's when you fall. So we have to just keep on holding each other up. I yield.
It's just a shame that we're all so sparse, isn't it? That's the one thing that bugs me so much.
Yeah, we are for now, Matt. I got a feeling, a very strong feeling, that's not going to be for much longer. I don't know how it's going to be accomplished. People don't need to contact me and ask me how. I have no idea.
Have you done anything more about that idea of a retreat?
Not lately. I've been swamped with family issues, swamped with a few health things here lately, and neighborhood things going on. I'm busy. I'm busier now than when I was working full-time. So, Ellen, no, I have not been able to get much done with that. But there are other things that are happening which are really exciting that I think may be a move of the Father. So somehow he's going to accomplish this. I honestly believe it. When the time is right, and that's the problem. We're all impatient, especially those of us that have been in the know for decades and preaching this stuff and trying to wake people up. And we're kind of like the little children sitting there. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And that's the way we are. We're impatient. We want it now. Father, come on. I want the kingdom. I want the community. Come on. I want it now. And that's our nature because we're tired of waiting. But when the time is right, I have no doubt whatsoever that we will have our communities. We will be like Noah and his family. We will be well provisioned. We will be well taken care of. We will be protected. And we will see what he does to the wicked, but it will not come to our tent. That much I know. How exactly it happens and when exactly it happens, he has not revealed to me. Maybe some of you know, but I don't know.
He showed in the Old Testament when the plagues hit, there were those in the land of Goshen that were not touched by it.
Right. Well, there's the old thing that when in 70 AD, when the Roman army went in and leveled Jerusalem, how many believers were killed? And the answer is none, because the believers knew it was going to get destroyed and they had left. Okay, it's the same idea. Is there going to be some destruction? Is there going to be loss of life? Guess what? In the last 3.5 years, we've seen a lot of it. But that doesn't mean it's going to come unto us. It's happening to many people. But it doesn't mean it's coming to the house of Jacob Israel, to his people, his sons and daughters. Just like Jerusalem. How many believers were in it? None, because they left. They were believers. They read it. They read the prophecies. They understood. They saw the signs. They got out. The people that got destroyed by the Roman army were the unbelievers, the one that thought, well, this is America. It could never happen here. I like living in the city so I can go to the theater and I can go out to dinner to 6 different restaurants and blah, 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 blah. All right, well, stay the hell in there then. When the rocks come falling down on your head, don't cry out to me for help because I'm not coming after you. That's the way it
Wear
is.
Wear a helmet.
What's that?
Wear a helmet.
Yeah, I got a suggestion for you. Wear a helmet. Yeah, you're right. Try to dodge some big rocks as they're coming down because they're going to bury you. I mean, a lot of this is common sense, but anyway, I guess maybe I've been talking today too much because I'm starting to lose my voice, so I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody and close this if it's okay with you folks.
That's fine.
Okay.
Y'all were blessed, folks.
Yeah, bless everybody.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and mute, and then we'll close in prayer here. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for all of our family members. Help us to have pure hearts and also remember that, you know, we need to have patience with each other. And sometimes it's a matter of semantics. I think in our hearts, we all carry the same thoughts. We just don't always express them quite the right way. We're learning, and as we learn as a family, we just ask that you'd be with us with your spirit poured out upon us, that we remember that, as Ella said, we're family. That's the main thing. We're family. We're going to get through this thing. We just have to work together and stay together and look out for each other. That's the lesson that we need to learn. We forgot that over the years, and we need to get back to it. So as we watch this world in its terrible state, Father, we know that you have the answers, and those of us who follow you can be part of that answer in whatever way you see fit. So we pray for your coming, your kingdom. We pray for a restoration of this poor earth and restored from what's been done to it. And we pray for that glorious day when you sit upon the throne and nobody will argue about it because you're not going to tolerate it. We know that. So be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always, Father, we ask that you protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.